If you have your Bible, would you join me in the last book of the Bible, Revelation chapter 18? Revelation chapter 18. And let me tell you just how the message came about today. We recently went through the book of Genesis on Wednesday evenings in our Zoom meetings. And as we were nearing the time of, you know, getting finished there with Genesis, I asked those who were joining, is there any particular topic you'd like to go into? Is there maybe another book of the Bible you would like to study? And several people mentioned, we just actually started last Wednesday going into our spiritual blessings that are based on promises that are ours in Christ. So that's where we started last week on Wednesday, and we'll continue. We certainly didn't cover them all in 1 week. And so we'll continue that this week. And then someone suggested the book of Daniel. And so, you know, maybe we'll do that here soon on Wednesday. And I'll just say, if there's something in your heart, maybe for whatever reason you're unable to join on Wednesday, but you would like to hear, please let me know. Write on a welcome card or email me. There's an email link on the website. And if there's something, you just have a question or maybe a topic you'd like to hear God's word about, please let me know. I'll definitely pray on that. And that's what happened here. Brother Gary had mentioned, because toward the end of Genesis, we read about a severe famine. It was 7 years in length. And it devastated the entire region. And as a result, the food was gone. There were no crops. They had spent all the money they had to buy what was left, so the food was gone, the money was gone, and what were they going to do? And he said, you know, maybe going into God's word about what would we do in a similar situation. You know, if there was really an economic, some type of calamity, a downturn, whatever you may want to call it, a recession or whatever, you know, then what would we do? And but as I started to think about that and prepare about it, I really sensed that I was to share that on a Sunday morning. So that's really where the message came from today. And I'll give you the title of the message. It's based on the words of Jesus in Matthew, and we'll go there in just a little bit. But let me go ahead and tell you what the title is, then we'll read these verses in Revelation, okay? The message this morning is just simply this: give us this day our daily bread. Give us this day our daily bread. And I'll say right off the bat, I'm thankful that I have never had to wonder. God has blessed me. I'm a family. Even growing up, I never had to wonder, what would I eat tomorrow, because this is all I've got today. I'm thankful for that. But you'll see that God is not just the source of our food. He's the source of everything that we really need. So give us this day our daily bread. Revelation 17 and 18 picture a political and economic world system that is in rebellion to God, is in rebellion to the authority of Jesus as Lord, and persecutes his followers. So I want to read a couple verses there in just a moment. Hopefully you found Revelation 18. Before we do, would you join me as we make this confession together? Ready? This is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I have what it says I have. I can do what it says I can do. God's word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. By its truth, I am set free, free indeed. I'm ready to receive the incorruptible, indestructible, ever-living seed of the Word of God. My mind is alert. My heart is open. My spirit is receptive. I'll never be the same. I'll never be the same. In Jesus' name, amen. So what does God tell us about this system here? He says in Revelation 18, verses 4 and 5, John writes, he said, I heard another voice from heaven, this is God speaking, saying, come out of her, my people. In other words, come out of this world system. It's actually called a kingdom. And it's the name of this world kingdom is Babylon. And that takes us back to the book of Genesis, because if you remember about the people who wanted to build a tower, and they were going to reach up, and they were going to have kind of like their own one world thing going there, and God confused their languages. That's what Babel means. Babel means confusion. And he calls this end time world kingdom Babylon. And so he says, come out of her, my people, lest you share in her sins, and lest you receive of her plagues. For her sins have reached to heaven, and God has remembered her iniquities. So this world system, and we will talk about it in just a minute, because you say, well, Brother Rocky, I got to live in the world. I know, and I will address that. But this world system wants to pull us in. It wants to pull us in, but here's why. So that it can control us. It's a world system that wants to pull us into its sin. Remember, he just said that, come out of her lest you partake of her sins. Don't partake of her sins, because that's going to bring judgment. So I'm calling you out. I'm calling you out of the kingdoms of this world. Come on into my kingdom. Into my kingdom. And so let me control you and not a world system that is in rebellion to me. And so we read these words in verses 9 through 13, still Revelation 18. Verse 9 says, the kings of the earth, that's why I said it's a political element involved, the kings of the earth who committed fornication and lived luxuriously with her, with this world system, it says they shall weep and lament. Notice those words, please, weep and lament. And then if you drop down to verse 11, then it says, and the merchants, that brings in the economic system, the merchants of the earth, notice, will weep and mourn. So weep and lament, weep and mourn, why? Over her, for no one buys their merchandise anymore. Merchant, and I want to read these two verses so that you see what the merchandise is. Merchandise of gold and silver, precious stones and pearls, fine linen, purple, silk, and scarlet, every kind of citron wood, every kind of object of ivory, every kind of object of most precious wood, bronze, iron, and marble. And then verse 13, and cinnamon and incense, fragrant oil and frankincense, wine and oil. These are like the riches. These are, you know, expensive type of items and luxuries. And he says, fine flour and wheat, cattle, sheep, horses, chariots, and then notice, bodies and souls of men. You see what I'm saying by how this world system wants to control us? It wants to own us. And that word souls is the Greek word psyche. You're familiar with Revelation 12, 11, where it speaks of the believers and how they overcome Satan? It says they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb, by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives. It's the same word translated souls here. So this system wants not just our money, it wants our lives. That's why I'm saying it wants to control us, to draw us into its sin and draw us away from God. That's why God says, come out of her, my people. So we have to look to the Lord as our source. And then just a couple more verses, Revelation chapter 18, if you drop down to verses 20 and 21. Remember what happened with the kings and the merchants, weeping, mourning, weeping, lament. Notice the difference between what God says in verse 20, Revelation 18, 20. Rejoice over her. Rejoice over her, O heaven, and you holy apostles and prophets, for God has avenged you on her. Like I said, this world system persecutes followers of Jesus. And then verse 21, then a mighty angel took up a stone like a great millstone and threw it into the sea, saying, thus with violence the great city Babylon shall be thrown down and shall not be found anymore. So that's why we don't want, God will overthrow this world system at his appointed time. So now would you turn to Matthew chapter 6 with me? Matthew chapter 6. And you say, well, how do we come out of this kingdom, out of this sinful world system? Some of you are familiar with the words of Jesus, I'm sure. Remember what he said about his followers in the Gospel of John? He said, you're in the world, but you're not what? But not of the world. In other words, we have to live in the world, but we don't have to live like the world. That's what I'm saying when the Lord calls us out. We're here for a reason. Jesus said, I don't pray you take them out of the world. I pray you'll protect them from the evil one. That's what he prayed for us. And so we come out in the sense that we live under the Lord's reign, under his rule in our lives. We're in his kingdom, and it's a kingdom where he reigns in love for us. It's not a, you know, just an angry, harsh, he's not a hard taskmaster. He's a loving father. And when we come to the Lord, we come under his loving reign and rule in our lives. That's what he wants for us. And anyone outside of that reign, God still loves people, but they're not walking in the benefits of it. And they can potentially be controlled by this world system. It's really after our hearts. So give us this day our daily bread is looking back to the Lord as our source. Because when the Lord says we're in the world but not of the world, he's when we come to him, we represent God's kingdom on earth. The Bible says we are Christ's ambassadors, and so he calls us not to live by the values and you know whatever of this world system. We're to live by the truths of God's word. And that's how we live separate. That's how we separate ourselves from a world system that ultimately will collapse and end in confusion. Now, it will not always be easy. I'm not saying that. We don't know what the future holds. We don't know how, just in the natural, this economic system has its ups and downs. And we've been through a pandemic, and we've seen, you know, many people lose jobs or be out of work for some time. And so we've experienced some of that already. I'm not saying it's always going to be easy, but I am saying if we will live God's way, God has his means of helping us survive and thrive for him as a testimony for his glory. So this morning, I'd like to just give three, I believe, practical action steps from God's word here that I believe we can live out to help us make wise financial decisions, to help us weather those financial storms. And it's not just finances. It can be any storm in life. And so here is the first step. The first thing we need to do, I believe, is to pray. So how do we weather, how do we prepare for economic ups and downs? First, we need to pray. That's what Jesus told us in Matthew chapter 6, beginning in verse 9. Let me read his words. We call this the Lord's Prayer. It's really a disciple's prayer. He gave it as a model prayer for us. Doesn't mean we have to pray every word. We can, but we cover these topics. So Matthew 6, 9 says, in this manner, therefore pray. Not word for word, but in this manner. Our Father, let me pause right there, because prayer is based on family relationships. Prayer is based on family relationships. And this impressed in my heart so strong this week when I was preparing for this. It's not just, you know, my Father. We each have to have our own individual walk with the Lord in that we have received Jesus as Lord in our own hearts, ourselves. But we're not Lone Ranger Christians. Every petition here that Jesus gave is corporate, it's together, it's family, it's our Father. It's forgive us, our, give us this day, our, lead us not. See how it's all together? So our Father, there is that family relationship of God's Spirit has brought me into that place of conviction. I realize I've sinned. I need to be forgiven. And I believe Jesus is the one who can forgive me. He died on the cross to pay for my sins. He arose again on the third day, and he's seated on high beside his Father. And if I will simply believe with my heart that he is my sinless, crucified, and risen Lord, God will forgive my sins. Give me his Holy Spirit. I will be born again, and he will make me new. And I'll be in the family of God and can join the other voices saying, our Father. Our Father. So again, it's family relationships. We're adopted. Would you say I'm adopted? And so the purpose of prayer then is not just to get what I want when I want it. The purpose of prayer is to get to know my Heavenly Father and to know my Lord and Savior better and to see his will accomplished on earth. That's why it says in Matthew 6, let me keep reading. Our Father in heaven, hallowed, holy is your name. Then first petition, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So we want to pray for the Lord's will to come. Then out of the Lord's will, he knows what we need. He says in verse 11, give us this day our daily bread. Would you say that with me? Give us this day our daily bread. So when we pray, you say, but God already knows my needs. I know, but when we pray, we invite God in. And Jesus told us to pray for God's will to be done. He told us, he said, I want you to pray in my name, pray in my authority, and then when the answer comes, it's going to give you joy. So we pray to receive so that we can have joy when the answer does come. Boy, sometimes It takes a while, though, doesn't it? There is that battle. That's why we have to do what Jesus said, persevere in prayer. And I like how verse 11 is worded in the Passion Translation. I think we have it there. This is how it says it. We acknowledge you as our provider of all we need each day. I love that because that's showing that bread, when Jesus said, give us this day our daily bread, that bread is a metaphor for all of our needs, spiritual, emotional, physical, whatever it is, we acknowledge you as our provider of all we need each day. I didn't just sing that song because we haven't sung it in a while this morning, but when my God is awesome, provider, I wanted to confess that, and I want to our spirits to receive it so that when we're in need and maybe I don't know what's going to, you know, for time of loss or something's going on, I still have a reason to praise because God is on the throne and he's my source. He's my provider. Now, he may use other human means as resources and streams, but he's the ultimate fountain, our Father. So we pray, and the key is whatever we face always, always comes back to relationship. Stay in close fellowship with God. Stay in close fellowship with the Lord. And it's not just, you know, a prayer of, Lord, pay this bill. That's fine. We can certainly pray for our needs. But it's also seeking the Lord in prayer. Not just, I'm going to seek you to get what I can get out of you and then I'm good. No, seek the Lord. Seek him in prayer. And then seek his will. Lord, here we're in a situation, I don't know what to do. I'm asking for you to lead me. I'm asking for you to lead us. What are we going to do here? So we seek his will, we seek his provision, and we seek his direction. Because we could be in a situation where we say, Lord, I'm not sure what to do, but I want you to lead me. Or maybe I'm considering this big investment or some big expense, and I pray on it, and I'm just not easy. I don't have peace. That's seeking God's direction, because there may be something that I can't see in the future that God sees, and he's putting that, some people call it a check, in your spirit, and you just don't have the peace. Let the peace of God rule in your heart. Let that make the call. Amplified says, let it be the umpire. If it's safe or out, let the peace of God be the umpire. Yes or no? So seek his will and then seek his direction. And as we do that, then God can guide us into those areas to meet our need. Give us this day our daily bread. Would you say that once again with me? Give us this day our daily bread. And then not only do we pray for our needs, we pray for God's kingdom. I believe it's a good time to mention, we're told in Scripture to pray for our leaders too. Here's why I wanted to bring that into this message right now. A nation's economic policies affect its people. So if there is corruption, if there is deception, if there is greed, if there is injustice in the government, whether it's local, state, national, world, the people are going to suffer. So we pray for our leaders. The Bible says we are to pray for them that we may lead a quiet and peaceful life in all reverence and godliness. So we can pray that God would give us leaders who would seek his will and direction in such a way that peace would be more characterized in our communities than chaos, because the gospel can go forth, because it is in that context. The Bible says God wants everyone to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. It's out of praying for our leaders. So that setting is so important. And now, I'm not saying that against government. Government has a God-ordained place like protection. God established government early on in the book of Genesis after family, because to have safe communities and protection, that the borders would be safe for the citizens to live in. And sadly, our entire military, the morale is down. I pray for our military leaders. I pray for our Joint Chiefs of Staff that God would help us to avoid every unnecessary conflict so we don't have to put our servicemen and women in harm's way, and that we would be prepared. Did y'all just see this week? I think it was this week, China hacked into some businesses here in the country. Can you imagine what would happen in this country if they really got into a system and shut things down electronically. You can't buy at a supermarket because the registers won't work. You can't get money out of an ATM. You can't get gas. Could you imagine what would happen? You see why I said we're to pray? I pray for them. And the recruiting is down in all of our military branches. I'm not bashing them. I want to see our military built up. I want to see us, you know, they have a place. I just don't want us to be more concerned about what pronouns they're using. Than serving to protect. But you see what I'm saying about the control? So, in fact, in Revelation 13, this is what the devil wants and he's working toward, is that he would bring us all into that one world type of Babylon, because he says, unless you give your allegiance to my man, the Bible calls him the beast, you can't buy or sell. But you see what I'm, that's why we've got to know that God is our source. Give us this day our daily bread. So first we need to pray. And thank God for the government. But I believe it was Ronald Reagan that said, if your government's big enough to give you everything you want, it's big enough to take everything you have. So we don't want to give our control away. Let's make sure we're under the Lord's control. So then we first pray. And then number two, we need to prepare. So how do I come out of this world system? The world system isn't praying our Father and looking to God only as a source, but we do as his people. So we pray and then we prepare. That's wisdom. We prepare for just regular bills that come in. We prepare for, we don't know what the future holds again, but we prepare for any type of need. You know, a business, you might be a part of a industry, and the industry could go on strike, or a business could close down, then what? So we want to be wise, and we want to prepare. Let me read you these verses in Proverbs 6, 6 through 8. Proverbs 6, 6, 7, and 8. I'd like to read it to you from the New Living Translation. I like how it's worded. Let me grab it. You can follow along on the screen. I think we have it. It says, take a lesson from the ants, you lazy bones. See, God gives us object lessons in nature, all right? And so he says, I want you to take a lesson from the ants, learn from their ways, and become wise. Okay, so let's watch the ant. The Lord wants us to be wise. So what does the ant do that we can gain wisdom from? Verse 7, though they have no prince or governor or ruler to make them work, they labor hard all summer, gathering food for the winter. Being self-motivated and preparing for future needs is wise. We'd be like the ants. to be prepared and to be wise. And I told you about that seven-year famine from the book of Genesis. When Joseph was in leadership, God revealed to him that was coming. That's why I say we pray and seek the Lord's direction. So what he did was God gave him wisdom to say, you know what? We're going to have seven bountiful years. It's not, we're into money, and you just spend everything that comes in. No, in those bountiful years, Joseph said, let's set some aside because we got some lean years coming, and that way we'll be prepared. So when the food ran out, there was still grain in Egypt. People could still survive and eat. So he prepared ahead of time for a future need, and that's what the Lord wants us to do. The Bible says to be diligent to know the state of your finances, because riches do not last forever. They can make themselves wings and fly away. Have you ever felt like your money grew wings? People talk about it growing on trees. I don't see any trees growing it, but it feels like it grows wings. Well, I just got paid. Wait a minute. And it can get away. So we've got to stay aware of our finances. That's wise to do. And we do want to pray. We trust God. But then we've got to be practical and do our part to prepare for any future needs. And again, that can just be something as simple as a bill that comes every 3 months. It could be something more. It could be, you know, some utility went out or something like that. So we prepare. I would like to encourage you this, because the Bible says the borrower is servant to the lender. Try to avoid debt if you can. I'm not saying it's all wrong, but if you can, I believe we're better to avoid it. And if we can't, seek the Lord and come up with a plan to get out. Pay it down, because again, that frees you from that lender controlling you. So we look to the Lord, give us this day our daily bread. If you're in Matthew 6, would you look at chapter 7, two verses here. Jesus is still speaking in what we call the Sermon on the Mount. And he gives us wisdom, I believe, here. And of course, this applies to any and every area. But if you think about living by scriptural truth that's related to money and possessions, it will help us prepare for coming financial storms, because they are coming. It's just part of this world system. So Jesus said in Matthew 7, 24 and 25, "Therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on the rock, and the rain descended." He did the right thing. "The rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it did not fall, for it was founded on the rock." That's the key right there, isn't it? It was founded. The storm came, but we weathered the storm because we lived God's way. That's being part of his kingdom, living under his leadership. So we pray, we prepare, and then we plant. Pray, prepare, and then we plant. And I don't consider myself any type of farmer, but I did do a little planting years ago. I lived at my parents. They had a little, you know, area of ground in the back. And some, I guess, seed you might just toss out on the ground. That's not what we did. We had a tiller. Y'all know tiller? And you till that ground up, break it up, get it to kind of turn it over. And then we didn't just do the tiller. Y'all know where to plow, right? Y'all know where the got that blade, and you go behind and you run a plow. It makes like a furrow in that dirt. And then we would go back and put the seed in and cover it over, so birds or whatever wouldn't give it and put it down into the earth. So the preparation was doing all the tilling and the plowing so that the seed would go into good ground and bear the fruit. So we pray. Preparing is part of that as well, in prayer. And we prepare, and then we plant. And would you look at this in Matthew chapter 6? Again, Jesus still speaking. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 19. Matthew 6, 19. Jesus said, "Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal." Now that's more of, do not let that be your only treasure. Because again, we're to prepare, we're to be wise. Do you know that Jesus actually had a treasurer in his traveling ministry? Did y'all know that? You know who he was? Judas. And he was dipping in. So we want to be wise, we want to prepare, but it really comes back to the heart. This is the key. So he says, don't just plant in this world, because again, this system is going to end one day. Verse 20, "But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroy, where thieves do not break in and steal, where inflation won't eat it all up." You won't lose it. Verse 21, "For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." And I want to just keep reading here. Would you drop down to verse 25? Verse 25, Jesus said this, "Therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you'll eat or what you'll drink, or about your body, what you will put on." But let's be honest. If we're going through a hard time, isn't that potential there? So that's why he says it. He's saying, don't worry about it. You have a Father in heaven. Let me tell you about him. He says, "Isn't life more than food and your body more than clothing?" Verse 26, "Look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow," they're not planting, "nor do they gather in barns for the future, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they?" Would you tell someone next to you, "You're even more valuable than the birds"? And God loves the birds. He prepares for the birds, feeds the birds. But he loves you. You're his children. You're his sons and daughters. And we get into, if we really get into a hard time, give us this day our daily bread. We have a God with unlimited resources. So we pray, we prepare, and then we plant. Let me just give you these verses if you want to write them down. I just got two more scriptures and we'll close. Because the Bible compares giving to planting. That's why I wanted to use that illustration. And the Bible says this, if you want to write it down, 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 6 and 7. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 6 and 7. The Bible says this, "But this I say, he who sows or plants sparingly will also reap what? Sparingly. But he who sows bountifully," that means with blessing, "generously, will also reap bountifully," generously. Verse 7, "So let each one give as he purposes." Again, where your treasure is, there your heart will be. "Let each one give as he purposes in his heart." I'm just so thankful to God. Y'all know how little I've never, like, just try to twist y'all's arm or, you know, pressure anyone to give. I know it's scriptural to give. And God blesses us when we give with the right heart. But if it comes from our heart, then you don't need me to pressure you. You don't need me to twist your arm, you know, or whatever like that. You'll want to do it because you're grateful to God for being your Father and meeting your needs. And then you have joy. That's the key, is to, when we give with blessing, we give with our heart, and then God blesses us back, and we have greater joy. So there's a blessing in giving. So he says in verse 7, "Let each one give as he purposes in his heart, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loves a hilaros in the Greek. He loves a hilarious giver, a cheerful giver. It brings us joy. And then when we plant those seeds, verse 10 says this, "Now may he who," our Father, "supplies the seed to the sower." If God can get it through us, he can get it to us. "He gives seed to the sower and bread for food." And this is what I pray for you. "May he supply and multiply the seed you have sown and increase the fruits of your righteousness," or as it's also, "May he increase the harvest of your generosity." The Lord bless and multiply the seeds that you're planting, and may he do it for his own glory, his honor, his will, and his purpose. Our Father, give us this day our daily bread. I believe one of the reasons that I felt that strong impression this week about the family relationship this way too is not only, yes, our Father, is because if we do have need, we help each other in the body of Christ. That's what we do. And it was a pattern throughout the book of Acts and the New Testament, and it's still continuing to this day. Maybe the Lord has blessed us even as a nation, not only because our founders sought to lay at least some scriptural foundation of our system, but I've even heard just recently still that 80% of the money that goes out into the world to reach unbelievers for Christ comes from this country. 80%. I can see that God's hand is on us for that purpose, because it's ultimately about his kingdom, his will, and his glory. I'll close with this, if you want to write the scriptures down. Thank you for your time and attention. The Bible says this in the book of Habakkuk. Let me just read it to you. We can put it on the screen. And as I'm turning, Habakkuk chapter 3, it's the end of that book. I want to ask you this, and maybe you can give me input real quick. What can we plant to the glory of God outside of money? Now, we can plant, certainly, and we are. If we have means, we can invest our money in the kingdom of God. That's planting for a future harvest for us. But what can we plant outside of money, Lord? We can give of our time, right? And maybe, okay, Sean? We can plant encouragement. Isn't that a great seed to plant, Rick and David? Rick? Okay, so planting a relationship, investing in that, right? David? Faith. Planting faith. Faith is a seed, right? So we plant that faith for it to grow. And so encouragement, we can give along that line of time. What about service? Can we plant service? I would say that God only knows how many ministries and how many businesses have started out of someone just providing a service. Do you see what I'm saying, though, about, I mean, Rebecca just went to the well to get some water, and a stranger was there, and he asked for some water, and she said, I'm going to not only give you some, I'm going to make multiple trips and get water for your camels. She married into Abraham's line. She didn't have to worry about fetching her own water. But she just did it with the right heart to serve. You say, but Brother Rocky, you don't have my, I don't know what's going to happen, and it scares me. And we have a God who is able to provide supernaturally if he needs to, according to his will and purpose. You heard of Nation Israel? 40 years wandering in a wilderness, he brought water out of, this wasn't a trickle, this wasn't a creek. He had to have torrents of water flowing out of a rock in the desert. He rained down angels' food, manna from on high. Here is a prophet running for his life, and there is a 3.5-year famine. His name is Elijah. God says, I've got a brook for you, going over by that brook. And he has water to drink, and he had his food. What do they call it, DoorDash? Well, he had Raven Dash. God brought him something to eat, and the brook dried up. But see, that's why we pray. And we say, well, the brook dried up. That was my resource, but God is my source. Give us this day our daily bread. And he said, I got a widow over here. I'm going to meet both of your needs. You just go on over there to her, and I'm going to supply for you, her, and her son as long as you're there until the rains come again. Do you see what I'm saying? God has his, here's 5,000 men, not counting women and children, on the hillside. And we got a little boy, he got his happy meal. And what are we going to do? And Jesus said, make them sit down in groups of 50 and 100 and go ahead and bring it to me. Let me bless it. I'll break it and multiply it. I'll take what you have and I'll use it. And you'll have extra left over and you'll bless him to be able to go on back home and say, Mama, you don't know what... So here in Habakkuk, he complained a little bit to the Lord in a prayer, in a good way. He saw the evil of his day, and he said, Lord, how are you letting this go on? This is bad, and aren't you going to do something about it? And when God told him what he was going to do, it shook him up. He wasn't prepared to hear what God said. And it, Habakkuk 3:16, when I heard, my body trembled. My lips quivered at the voice. Rottenness entered my bones, and I trembled in myself that I might rest in the day of trouble. When he comes up to the people, he will invade them with his troops. Now, what can we learn about faith in God in these final words? Though the fig tree may not blossom, nor fruit be on the vines, though the labor of the olive may fail and the fields yield no food. I don't know where the food's coming from. I don't have anything to eat. Though the flock may be cut off from the fold and there be no herd in the stalls. So what am I going to do? Yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. The Lord God is my strength. Do you see what I'm saying? He still knew he had a source beyond what his eyes could see. The Lord is my strength. He will make my feet like deer's. He's going to make me sure-footed, and he'll make me walk on my heights, on the highest hills, because he is my source. And even though I look at the cupboards and there's bare, and I don't see any way for God to meet the need, he's still on the throne. I still got a reason to praise. Because though the resource may run out, my source never will. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Come on, give us this day our daily bread. Aren't you glad you got a Father who can meet your needs? Let's stand together. We'll close in prayer. Lord, thank you. You know my own emotions at times, Lord, when I think about trouble that may come. But I'm thankful. You said, don't worry about tomorrow. You got that. You said just focus on today and you've got enough grace. Lord, the children of Israel couldn't gather 2 weeks of food every day. They just had to go out every day and get it. So Lord, help us to genuinely look to you to meet our needs. Not only our financial, because we acknowledge you as our provider of all we need each day. Spiritual, emotional, physical, relational, or whatever it is, you are our provider and you are a way maker, and we thank you. So Lord, just that's what I pray, is you would draw us to yourself. Draw us into a closer walk with you. Lord, keep us close to one another as your people. And Lord, help us to care enough to reach out to others that they could know you too and be drawn in. You're a good Father, and we thank you. Before we...